So many times as women, we don't want to have frank conversations. We just want to be nicey-nice, right? Okay, all right, well, let me know what you think, right? It's like, no. It's like, hold on a second. All right, I'm a little confused because I really felt your passion when you said this is what you want. And now you're slowing it down and I'm a little confused. Talk to me. What's going on? What are you afraid of? And I'm not trying to sell you at this point. There's points in the conversation where you're selling, Deb, and then there's points in the conversation where you're actually coaching. So why don't we talk about what it would take for you to get results so that you feel confident, right? So now you've got to get that elephant in the room to the surface so that you can talk about it.
Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Hello, my friends. You've heard me say before, if you're not selling, you're not serving. It's so easy to get caught up in the trappings of having a business, building a website, getting a logo, registering your LLC, but without paying clients, you don't have a business. You have an idea for a business. So welcome back to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. And if you're new to our show, welcome home. This is where you get solid advice about how to build a coaching or consulting business from scratch. And today we're talking about sales, because as I said before, if you're not selling, you're not serving. If you don't have clients, you can't make an impact on the world. And today we're speaking with Susan Trumpler. Susan is a master at helping women entrepreneurs find their real voice so that they can find their best clients. And her mission is to never hear another woman say they feel salesy or pushy when they're talking about their business. So Getting to Yes Faster is her free masterclass that she teaches small business owners just how to do that. And she generously agreed to speak with you today. So welcome, Susan, to Life After Corporate.
Deb, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. So we always ask our guests, what is your life after corporate story? Clearly, this isn't your first rodeo. What brought you to where you are now? And what were you doing before?
This is a good story, Debs, and I'll keep it as short as I can. I was in corporate sales selling for ADP, Automatic Data Processing, a very large payroll company in human resources. Loved it. But after about 15 years or so, you know, I went through sales leadership, sales enablement. I was ready for a change, and I went over to this beautiful little boutique sales training company, and I loved working for them. Traveled all over the world training, and it was just the best. And then I woke up one morning and got a phone call that I had been riffed. Yes. Oh, it was crazy. And it's so funny because I left ADP because I felt unstable. They were doing some reorganization, cutting down silos. And I'm like, ooh, I see the handwriting on the wall. Let me see where I can go. And I thought I was going to be with this company for quite a while. They got popped by a private equity group, and private equity came through and did a sweep. And I unfortunately found myself out of work and panicked. I'm like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do?
So you're an accidental entrepreneur.
I am. I'm an accidental entrepreneur. And to this day, I would go back to corporate because I love collaboration and I just love everything. But and this is a great lesson for all of your listeners, I utilized my network and I was able to cobble together contracts with different people that I had done work with. And I thought it was just going to be until I figured out my next move. And then this one contract that I started working with this gentleman, I loved what he did. It's sales measurement. It measures sales training and the impact it has on businesses. Fell in love with it. And he sold me the company less than a year later. So I've been running that company for 10 years. And then now the coaching practice for women entrepreneurs, because I'm tired of the patriarchy in sales. And even in small business, it's such a man's world, the bro culture is deep. And I'm like, no, I'm gonna be there for the women. And as I started networking with them, I kept hearing, oh, I don't like sales. It makes me feel pushy. It makes me feel sleazy. And I'm like, what? Why? Yeah. So I've dedicated this practice to eradicating those words out of women's vocabulary. And it's been so much fun.
I love it, Susan. I love it. And, you know, it's the one thing that women are inherently good at, right? So we sell differently. And women can be top salespeople, but it's a matter of getting out of your own way. Yes. So what do you find trips women up in particular when it comes to having sales conversations?
Okay, so this is so good. You're right. We do have innate characteristics. We're community-driven. We're helpers, nurturers. That's all sales is nurturing someone and helping move them towards what they want more than anything else, right? It should be so simple. But what gets in the way is our own primitive brain that says, be careful, somebody might reject you. You got to be liked. You don't want to get kicked out of the community. And so we are so hesitant to put ourselves out there. And to be honest, Deb, to really recognize the value that we bring to the table. I think that is the number one thing is women undervalue as much as men overvalue the contribution.
Amen to that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So self-esteem, self-confidence, it all gets in the way of the sales process when in effect, it's not about you. There's nothing about the sales conversation that has anything to do with you. So tell me, how do you coach your clients out of this feeling of, I don't want to be rejected. I want to feel salesy. I don't want to be pushy. What is it that women need to know that they don't know?
Yeah. So not to put a shameless plug in for my book, but in can I say shit?
You can say it. You can say it.
Oh shit. I'm in sales. So in my book, I have a 5-step process because here's what you're doing. You have developed a sales mindset from the time you're little through the time you start. And not always. The way you see sales is something that's ingrained in you inherently. And so you need to change that mindset. You need to reset that. And it doesn't happen overnight and it doesn't happen by accident. So I give them a 5-step process to be able to really inspect what's going on when you think about the sales activities you have to do. What's happening inside of there that is not true, that is creating a energy in you that is, in essence, procrastination, avoidance. Re-establish what's happening so that you can avoid those feelings and get to the feeling of confidence and excitement and then take action from there. So it's a really cool process to just figure out why your brain is sabotaging you the way it is. And let's just reset it and pick a different pathway.
Yeah. So give us a clue of how to do that. You know, what are the first couple of steps that we need to go through?
Sure. I'll use it contextually. So let's say, okay, because does anyone love walking into a networking meeting where they know no one? Okay.
No, I hate it.
I have never met, even myself, I consider myself fairly outgoing and I still don't like it. It is the most awkward feeling that you get of dread. You're walking into, and I'm going to do in person because I think Zoom can be a little bit easier in that regards. But I'm going to say we're going to walk into a networking event. You know, no one. What's going through your mind, Deb? What would you be thinking in your mind?
Where are my people? You know, where right. is the person that I can most easily start a conversation with?
But that's evolved thinking. So. See, because you're a pro.
Thanks. But I'm involved. What can I say?
The typical woman would be walking and going, oh, I won't know anyone. They all know each other. They don't want to get to know me. I'll feel like an outsider, right? Kind of thoughts like that, right? That thought in your head is creating a feeling in you, an emotion. It's an energy. You know, your thoughts create an energy in your body. The energy of dread is a very low, like, ugh. And so what happens is you're almost closing in on yourself. You walk into the room and you're this person who's making themselves small. You're like, oh, you're looking around. You're like, how fast can I get out of here? Your actions come from your feelings and from your energy, and they're not going to be the kind that are going to make that a successful networking event. So what you have to do is rewind, go all the way back to, I'm walking in the building and I'm hearing those thoughts in my head. And you're like, is this true? Might be. Does it matter? Not really. How do I want to think? I want to think like Deb would. Where are my people? Who's the person who needs just a little, maybe some other people in there feel the same way I'm feeling. How can I help them? How can I make them feel more comfortable? Now, when you get outside of yourself and you change those thoughts, all of a sudden, instead of being small and getting, you know, dread, now you're like, okay, who can I help? How can I make someone else more comfortable? How can I show up as a person who's really confident? Then all of a sudden you see your whole demeanor changes, your energy lifts, you're more confident, and you walk in a place able to take actions like introducing yourself, laughing, smiling, looking like you're somebody wants to approach. It changes, but you have to make that a conscious effort. And once you hear these thoughts in your head, you've got to stop them in their tracks and say, wait a second, is there a different way that I can look at this to create a different result? Because my results come from my actions, which come from my feelings, which start with a thought in my mind.
Exactly. So you're highly evolved too, Susan, I can tell. You've done a lot of mindset work, because it's really true. I mean, not just sales, but everything about entrepreneurship is mindset work. So I love that you picked the walking into a networking event scenario, because most people don't know how to work a room like that or leave with real authentic relationships. So I know you've mentioned that you have three questions that women don't know how to ask. Is this an appropriate context for how to ask those questions, or is it more appropriate for when you're actually in a sales conversation and exploring how to work together? So how do we bridge being in that network event having a sales conversation with someone? And when we're in that conversation, what most of my early clients that were just working with each other say is, I don't know what to say.
Yes.
I don't know what to say. So let's take that scenario that you've set up of being in this networking room. You know, the mindset piece is already making you uncomfortable before you've even had a conversation with anyone. How do you go from networking to a sales conversation? And then what do you say in that sales conversation?
Sure. Oh my goodness. So here's the best part. If people just remember one thing in the beginning of a networking conversation, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's always about them. And the number one thing that people want to talk about is what they want most, what they're looking for, what they're having a challenge getting to. So if you can open a networking conversation in a way that connects you to what they want. So for me, for a networking scenario, I'm like, how are you doing? What's happening in your business today? What's working well for you? What's been challenging for you? It's good to meet you. Tell me everything. I want to know everything about you. And people are like, whoa, damn, that's refreshing right there. That's refreshing. So they start, they're like, oh, but I really want to know about your business. I'll tell you all about my business, but first I want to know what is going on for you. What do you do? What's happening for you? So you're always asking questions, but you're really getting to the bottom of the most important thing that will bring you into a sales conversation. What do they want more than anything else that they're not getting? What's the most important thing that will help them grow their business? What's the most important thing that will make them more efficient in what they do? Whatever it is that ties to how you can support them is the place you want to go. And then it's all about, what value can I add to that? Oh my gosh, I've got something that I could share with you. I've got this great resource. Okay, number two tip, you have to have literally a library of resources that connect the business owner's problems or whomever you're working with, their problem to the solution that you can offer. And if you're in a networking event and somebody's just told you something, you're like, oh, I've got it. I've got an amazing article that I can share with you. Give me your business card and I'll send it to you, you know, immediately, or I'll send it to you on LinkedIn. All of a sudden, now you're not asking them for anything. You're saying, oh, I might be able to help you with that. Let me share that. Let me share this resource. Let me share this person that I know. Now you've got a reason to reach out to them that isn't all about, I want to have a sales call with you. But
it's about relationship building, right? It's all about building relationships. Yeah. And the same is true for online marketing as it is in real life. Now, you know, we haven't spent a lot of time in networking events lately, but the same advice that Susan is sharing with you here applies to having conversations in messaging. You know, we don't want to spam people with links to, hey, you know, join my event or book a call with me. You wouldn't do that in real life. So you wouldn't do it online either. So I just wanted to make sure that people were aware that the information you're sharing is so valuable to have those resources. I call them high converting lead magnets, right? So having something, whether it's, you know, let me send you my most recent podcast episode, or I have this cool tool that'll help you get clarity on that issue. May I send that to you? And it's all permission based, you know, so they're raising their hand and saying yes. So that, you know, establishes that positive relationship.
Beautiful.
So what's next after that?
So the cool thing is that's answering the first question that's on their mind is, do I even need what you have? Like, I don't know you from Adam. Do I need what you're offering? If you are uncovering what their problem is, what they want most and aren't able to get, and you've connected that you can provide resources to that, that answers the first question. The second question they have, though, is how are you unique? Like, unfortunately, the online world is really crowded and noisy right now. So how do you establish that you're a unique entity that they would want to develop a relationship with? And you've already started it by, instead of trying to sell out of the gate, you're saying, I want a relationship. I'm a relationship person, and that is what I want to do. So you're already establishing uniqueness, but you can continue that conversation by sharing additional information about how you do things a little bit differently. You know, wherever you've got a process, wherever you've created something that is codified, you want to make certain that you're putting that into the conversation so people are like, wow, she's got what I need. And it sounds like she's got a unique way of delivering that. I really want to get to know her better. So that's the second question, is how are you unique? And here's the thing, devs, you will never show your uniqueness at the level of the work you do. Okay. And this is hard to describe without a visual, but if you think about a pyramid, okay, if you think about a pyramid, and if you think there's three layers in a pyramid, and anytime you're communicating with someone, you have the opportunity to communicate at any one of those three layers. The bottom, the basement of it, is all about you. It's your programs. It's your pricing. It's your expertise. It's everything that has to do with your business. And frankly, they don't care about that at all. The middle of the pyramid is about what they want to do differently, and the top is why they want to do it differently. So you show uniqueness by understanding and communicating at that upper level and tying in how you do it. I call it going down into the basement of the pyramid, grab a little bit of a nugget and bring it up there as proof of how you can help them get what they want. But don't linger in the basement, because the more you linger in the basement, the more you sound like everybody else.
Right. Exactly.
The less unique you are.
Exactly. And this is where people get caught up in the sales conversation, talking about the features of their program. Yeah. Right.
Cares.
And right. You get this and you get that. And here's how, and here's another bonus. And no one really cares about that. So let's talk about the sales conversation. I know you're in a process. You do 1, 2. What is number three?
Number three is, it's actually where most people get tripped up once they start a sales conversation.
Yeah.
And it's urgency. It's building that desire for now. Why now? So first it's, why do they want you, or why do they need you at all? Then why you? The third piece is, why do they need you now? And a lot of times we get to the end of a sales conversation and people are like, I just need to think about this just a little bit. Can I give you an answer next week? Or I'll call you next week. And you're like, you know, right then and there, you've not done your job. Because if people truly see you as the answer to something they want desperately, and they believe that you're unique in how you can do it, they will not want to procrastinate. They will want to take action right away. And so being able, what holds people back, let's just say, what holds people back from saying yes, from being able to take action right now, more often than not is fear. They're afraid they're going to make the wrong decision. They're afraid that you, they're over here, Deb, not happy, not getting what they want. You've painted a picture that you can get them over here and how you can get them there, but they don't trust you yet. They haven't gotten that to that point where they see 100% how they're going to get what they need. And so that creates a fear that slows them down, that says, I better think about this. And then the wheels fall off the wagon because you've really created a lot of great synergy. But the moment they hang up the phone or they stop the conversation, the clock starts ticking and that energy drops and it drops and it drops. And you've got less than a 50% chance of being able to win that client at that point. So you really need to learn how to make people feel safe, that the decision is rock solid and that you will take them by the hand each step of the way and make certain that they will get to that possibilities part of the picture that you've painted with them. So
the sales conversation is really a journey. And there is, to have an authentic sales conversation requires a framework for that conversation. What I've learned over the last 10 years is you can't wing this. You know, you just don't show up on a Zoom call and say, hey, how are you? It was so nice meeting you. Tell me about your business. Oh, here's what I do. Do you want to join me? Yeah. It doesn't work that way. There is a journey that you're taking people on. And when you mentioned trust, what came up for me is, you know, they don't yet trust you. They don't trust themselves in making the right decision. So how can you, so let's talk about this because this is really juicy. Yeah. You know, they don't yet trust you. They don't trust themselves in making the right decision. So how do we bring them to that clarity of, mm-hmm. I can trust you. I trust myself. This is the right next move for me. And this is the right time because it's either, you know, time, money, it's not the right time.
Those are all smoke screen. Those are all smoke screens.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you hear those things, then you know you have not, you got to take a step back and say, hold on a second. Because, and literally, Deb, we could talk about this for 30 minutes easily,
yes. Right?
This is the most challenging part of any sales conversation. When you make your offer, again, there has to be an energy of confidence, an energy of certainty, an energy that I am the person who can get you across that river of misery that you need to, you know, kind of get through in order to get to what you want. So here's the cliff notes of this is you have to be prepared with really strong discovery questions throughout to understand truly what is it that they want. And if they don't get it, what's the consequences? Like, what does their life look like without this change? And how willing are they to not have that? When you start really digging in there, it's like, give me on a scale of 1 to 10. How important is this to you to have this as your possibility, right? And they're like, oh, I have to have this. I can't live another day without it. Then you're making an offer from a really strong place. If they say, I'm not sure, you're like, hold on a second. Wait. When we were over here talking about this, you were saying that, and now you're stirring up again that place where they don't want to be, right? And you're saying, are you really willing to wait to be able to get here? And the other thing I will say right now is that, Deb, we have to get comfortable with bringing the elephant in the room into the conversation. So many times as women, we don't want to have frank conversations. We just want to be nicey-nice, right? Okay, all right, well, let me know what you think, right? It's like, no. It's like, hold on a second. All right, I'm a little confused because I really felt your passion when you said this is what you want. And now you're slowing it down and I'm a little confused. Talk to me. What's going on? What are you afraid of? Are you, you know, where are you feeling uncertain? Let's talk about it because I can help you. And I'm not trying to sell you at this point. There's points in the conversation where you're selling, Deb, and then there's points in the conversation where you're actually coaching. You're saying, let's talk about this. Now, if they trust you and they are started and they feel the authenticity from you, they're going to open up. And they're going to say, you know, I've made decisions like this in the past and I had an egg on my face. You know, my husband got mad at me because I spent this money and I didn't get any results. You're like, I get it. I get it. So why don't we talk about what it would take for you to get results so that you feel confident, right? So now you've got to get that elephant in the room to the surface so that you can talk about it. Because otherwise, that elephant is going to go to bed with them and crush their dreams that night. And you're not going to be able to. Did you know, as a matter of fact, let me throw this out there. Do you know that status quo is the biggest competition anyone has in a sales conversation? People Wow. not making a decision to move forward. Over 60% of people who enter into sales conversations end up not moving forward with anyone because of this very reason. They haven't found person they feel safe with.
And, you know, I've always heard this saying that you can't coach what your client doesn't say. And it's also true in the sales conversation. If you're not skilled at asking the right questions, you'll never uncover the real reason that's preventing that person from saying yes. And too many times you'll back down and say, oh, okay, you know, I'll call you 3 months from now. And, you know, that never happens. I mean, there are situations, Susan, where people indeed do make a mental commitment and say, I want to do this, but I want to start 3 months from now because I've got these challenges with my parents or I have these health challenges and I need to get beyond this. 100%. So, you know, we have to honor that life happens too. But when it's an I need to think about it or, you know, the timing's not right, you know, asking those questions like, well, what happens 6 months from now if nothing changes? You know, so why is now not the right time? Or asking the question, why is now the time to handle this?
That's all we're asking here. And here's what was going through my mind as you were talking about that. Selling with feminine energy, which I believe is our superpower, doesn't mean that you can't ask questions when someone gives you a response, right? So you don't have to bend over and say, oh, okay, well, I'll get back with you. Doesn't mean you can't be still, have good feminine energy and grace and say, can I just ask you a couple questions? Let me just, and I promise you, I'm not trying to sell you here. I honor whatever response you have, but I just want to ask you a couple questions because I wouldn't be doing my job as a coach if I didn't. So it's that balance. It's that balance, Deb, that you always have to be aware of. What makes us great at sales can also hold us back.
Is there anything else? This has been such a rich discussion. And my friends, I hope you have been taking notes or that you'll download this to listen to it later because Susan just dropped so many pearls of wisdom on you on how to have an effective sales conversation that's authentic, it's honest, it's present with the person who's on the other side of Zoom or on the other side of the phone. Is there anything else that most people just don't realize that's happening in the sales conversation that if they changed that one thing, it would make all the difference for them? You know, what is the one most important element of a sales conversation that will lead to a yes?
Okay. If I had to say one thing, I believe that it's our job in a sales conversation to, and I hate to use this word, but it is appropriate, control the conversation. Mm-hmm. So I believe that I call it sales conversation choreography. You want to have that flow so that you are the one moving the conversation forward and asking the questions and keeping it in almost like a lane, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of times people come to a conversation, it's like, how can I help you? It's, you know, it's great to see you. What's on your mind, right? And that is disastrous because that takes all the control out of you. And now you're sitting and you're listening to somebody ramble and not really be disclosing. Here's the other thing. They want to be sold. They came to a sales consult because they want to buy something. And so, you taking control of that conversation helps you lead them down the pathway towards that yes, as opposed to meandering and like going all over the place. The easiest way to do that, to start the conversation out, is by saying this. I love that we're together today. Quite often when people come to me, it's for one of three reasons. And you got to know what your power positions are. Your three most important, unique things that bring people to you. They either want this, this, or this. And because this is how they're experiencing life, tell me, do any of those resonate with you?
Mm-hmm.
Now what you've done is they're like, all of them. Or no, it's this one more than that one, but here's what it looks like for me. What you've done when you've done that is you've opened the conversation in a way that already drops that I'm only going to tell you so much because I'm not sure. I don't want to be sold. I want to be oversold. So now you've opened up the conversation in a way that creates, she gets me. She trusts, they'll trust you more. They'll tell you what's on their mind specific to what you do best. And now you're off to the races. You just ask a bunch of great questions.
Yeah, that was a great piece of advice because inevitably you will get people who you open up the conversation and they unload on you. You know, they're the fire personalities. It's like, I want to understand, you know, in my case, it's like, I want to understand if I'm selling the right things, how to get more clients and what to charge for my services. And I always say, that's fantastic. I love that vision that you have for this conversation. I have a structure for these types of conversations. So I have a few questions to ask you. So that'll help me show you how you can get the answers to those questions, right?
Exactly.
So you have to rope people in.
Yes.
And even if the train has already left the station, you can say, that's fantastic. Let me interrupt you. I like to have a structure for these conversations. So here are the questions that I want to ask you. Does that work for you? Does that sound good to you?
Mm-hmm.
So we're always asking for that validation, for that agreement of moving forward in the way we want to.
So
Susan, this has been a fantastic conversation. And I know that the listeners are going to want to grab your book. Oh shit, I see it behind you.
Oh shit, I'm in sales?
I'm in sales? So how do they get the book?
Yeah.
How do they tap into your masterclass and follow you?
Absolutely. So go to uwibusiness.com. which is my website. The book is right there on the website. So is my podcast page. And the link to getting to Yes Faster is gtyfaster.com.
gtyfaster.com. Getting to Yes Faster. gtyfaster.com. Susan, it's been such a pleasure. I know you and I met online. I forget how we met, but it was just an instant, you know, we're coming from the same place. We share the same understanding about entrepreneurship and sales. And it's been such a pleasure sharing you with the Life After Corporate audience.
Thank you, Deb. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you to all the listeners. Go out there and just kill it.
Kill it. By the time you listen to this, it's either the end of 2022 or the beginning of 2023. So new beginnings are always a fabulous opportunity to up your game, especially in sales. If you're not selling, you're not serving. That's it for this episode of Life After Corporate, my friends. See you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.